Denver with the timeout. We are tied.
I love it. Don't call it. Tie ball game. Worst can happen. We go to overtime.
Murray makes a move.
So, not, you know, the great back-to-back doubleheader last night at MSG and then in Denver is Mike Breen is doing, you know, Mike Breen's on the call and you get a double bang. Here's how good Mike Breen is. People keep track of whether it be a single bang or a double bang. That's only the fifth time in the history that any game has elicited a double bang from Mike Breen. And then,
it's a big deal.
As you heard on the TNT call with Kevin Harlan, man, he, as that game was getting tense, he just let the thing breathe. That was a masterclass in knowing when to insert yourself as a play-by-play guy with all the emotion and then just let it play out.
Let the director
take over.
Because
you're not on radio. You're not like a guy, Jason, who is just losing his mind.
Yeah.
Is the... Breen and Harlan back-to-back just added to incredible doubleheader. One of the best, and I think Ernie Johnson said it best on the postgame show on Inside the NBA, as you know, they were trying to make sense of what had just happened in Denver. He said it's the best doubleheader of basketball that he has seen at TNT in 34 years.
Yeah, I can't imagine that there was anything better than that, especially with what happened at the end. But the atmospheres, again, were just phenomenal. And that's a veteran move when you mention Kevin Harlan, and I don't know how many do it better than Kevin Harlan, if any. But you
people forget big Nick Hanley fan too. Go ahead, lean into it.
Hey, he paid me a compliment. That was nice. You have the crowd getting into it. There are many times that between the play-by-play guy, and this is TV. I'm not talking about radio, because radio you have to call the action because they're going off of you describing the scene. But you're watching that, you're hearing that on TV, you're hearing how loud the arena is. It does you no good to try to overdo it, over-explain, complicate the matters. The atmosphere itself speaks for it. It just, I would agree. Until you brought that up, didn't really notice it. But the fact that I didn't notice it makes it, that kind of proves your point right there too. And it's all about that call at the end and then how you back off from it. Mm-hmm. And you just let celebration, everything, take over. I did go back during the break to watch poor AD. That's a really good description. It was like ants. If Murray was on the other side of the floor, it would have been fine. But right there it is. You were waiting to see like a bunch of bite marks and like part of Anthony Davis missing.
Little puppies when they put out food and they all just swarm to it and just flopping over.
Poor guy. I guess you should have played better in the fourth.
And that's the takeaway here.
Yeah.
Don't want to get mobbed.
You don't want to get eaten by ants.
I mean, him and LeBron had, I mean, the tank was about on E, but they have one of the most effective pick and rolls going in the NBA. And good on Michael Malone. Again, Michael Malone outcoached Darvin Ham. They adjusted. So off the screen, LeBron was looking at Aaron Gordon, but Lakers never adjusted to that. And so that phase, which is really about the most effective offense the Lakers have. I mean, that's a lethal LeBron and AD doing a pick and roll. They had no response. They had no change. And that thing hit the wall. And they outscored 53-31 after they were up 20. Also, late last night, word came down as we are in Portal combat mode. Yesterday was another busy day. Boy, what is going on in Minnesota? We'll get into that. But Jeff Sims is currently visiting Arizona State.
Nice.
This is kind
upgrading.
This is a feel-good story.
Yeah.
I think Tempe is very appealing to Nebraskans. Remember Jared Bubak from Lincoln Christian, who was great in high school? He went to Arizona State, loved Arizona State.
How could you not love Arizona State?
Yeah, being there numerous times, and especially when school's been on, and I've strolled across the campus as an old man.
You and I both.
Whiplash.
You know what? The buildings are really
not just
nice.
Metallica song.
The buildings in Tempe are nice.
Very pretty.
I can see why Like, they look good from the outside. Mm-hmm. I could see why you would increase your study habits and be good at school.
Be motivated.
At Arizona State.
Yeah.
Palm trees.
Now, it's kind of disappointing that, you know, they moved the Fiesta Bowl out of Tempe because, you know, when Nebraska was going there on a regular basis.
It's a fun time.
Man, that was a good time. I mean, those Nebraskans that would make the trip down that were about as pale white as you can imagine. And then by the second day, they were pink. But boy, they were golfing and they were yucking it up there on, Mill Avenue?
Mill Avenue, New Year's Eve. Saw sticks there.
Great little entertainment area.
Jeff Sims, who it's been pretty quiet. He's been in the portal for a while. Got his degree at Nebraska. He was working out, so he has been back home. And now he's visiting Arizona State for, as you said, what did you say, feel-good story?
Yeah, it's a feel-good story.
Yeah.
We were wondering what is going to happen with Jeff Sims.
Big 12 power, Arizona State.
Because it's a good guy. He is just a good guy.
He had a nice meal.
Everybody seemed to like him a lot. At one point, you felt for him. Like, this guy, whatever's going on with the fumbles, with the dropping of the snaps, all of those things, whatever's going on, it's not like he's trying to do that. In the heat of the moment, I wasn't saying that. But after, you know, when you know he's moving on and he's not going to be someone that is on your roster anymore, the way he carried himself, the way he handled himself, it was nothing but class. So you have to wish those guys the best, right?
We are really Nebraska nice. I'm not disagreeing with you. He's a good guy. It's not him, it's Rule. And you can hold that against Rule as a major miss until he proves you otherwise. It's okay to do that. I mean, that's perfectly fine because Nebraska missed out big time on Jeff Sims. Now, they got a guy falling out of the heaven that is going to quickly turn that position around. And Nebraska's quarterback room might be better now than it was at the end of last year. So hold that against Rule and hold some accountability there. Because you remember what the discussion was about Jeff Sims, and then reality hit and we went, what is going on here? But there are very few guys that leave Nebraska. And I'll say this, anybody really in the portal around here, are we way too nice? Like, guys that leave either Nebraska, Creighton, or Omaha, and some of them hurt more than others.
Don't,
I mean,
get them.
This time last year, we were talking about Nembhard and Kaluma with basketball. Been a while since we talked about Wandell Robinson. Yep. We're currently talking, at least for probably a day, more about Frankie Fiddler.
I feel like Luke McCaffrey drew a little bit more ire from people.
Well, no, because I think we put it back on he was mishandled. But we're like okay with people transferring. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong, but it may be something about how we look at things, whether we lost Jeff Sims, but we got Dylan Raiola.
That's a good point.
We lost X, but we got this. Yeah. So, hey, good luck out there. But very few guys that transfer in their respective sports, like, receive scorn as they're out the door. And I say this as I'm reading a thread on Elijah Hawkins leaving Minnesota. Now, his situation was, he said, the PG is coming back. The PG is out the door in Minneapolis. But we're okay with people that leave. And I agree with you, Nick. I think Jeff Sims gets a, hey, man, go do what you got to do. And you know what?
We hope you can figure it out.
Go be a gadget quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get Luke McCaffrey drafted in the NFL possibly on Saturday.
You're right.
As a gadget guy, an athlete, moved to wide receiver, could dabble a little bit at quarterback. Could Jeff Sims add a gadget to his quarterback ability because he is not a number one quarterback in college football anymore?
No, because they have the guy that at one point we were talking about in the transfer portal possibly coming to Nebraska, and Sam Levitt as well. So when I saw that, and the first thing I thought of is, that's awesome. I hope he does find a place. But immediately, I forgot for a moment that Sam Levitt, that's where he ended up going, is what would be his ultimate role. And I don't think they have a lot of quarterbacks on scholarship after looking more into that last night. And to me, that says a couple of things. One, you're just trying to add an experienced body in there if all hell breaks loose. But also, to your point, it's not as if he's completely inept of anything that has to do with quarterback responsibilities. It's about how you decide to use him and in a position of confidence for him, because he does have some very unique athleticism that can help you as long as that ball is secure. And I know the original tweet yesterday about the gentleman who was reporting this had mentioned, had a few turnovers in his time at Nebraska, and there were a lot of people quick to jump on. A few? Like, and then he, this is where he made the mistake, he engaged and said, well, he only had X amount of interceptions in three games. That's a few in my book. And then everybody were quick to point out the fumbles, the drop steps. Like, all right, buddy, you need to walk away from this one. This is not the conversation to get into, especially with Nebraska fans.
Sorry for being positive, okay? Bless his heart.
So that's where I think people were like, you just ripped the Band-Aid right off. But I don't think there is one Nebraska fan that'd be like, yeah, the hell with them. I think a lot of people do feel that way. And that was what was so agonizing, is he did everything else exactly the way you would want it. When he was on the bench, and you could tell he was obviously frustrated, then he reinserted into the game, and then he fumbles again and drops a snap. You're just like, my God, this is awful. Get him out of there. But when you step back from it, you just tend to feel for the kid, because he allows you to do that, because he handled himself well. He was a great teammate. There were so many good things about him, except for the most important thing, and that was on the field.
I don't know. I'm not a super stats guy, but 31 career touchdown passes and 29 interceptions, that is not 2-1.
It's more than a few.
So I'm just telling you, I think the two sometimes is better than the three. Mm. I know for a fact that 31-29 is not 2-1.
Yeah.
He's also a guy that if he doesn't get injured, do you think he is ever not the starter?
I think eventually, yes, I do. I think he plays himself out of it. I do.
He would have played longer.
They went all in. I mean, the chips got pushed to the middle of the table, and then they're like, let's just steal the table so nobody sees the chips.
I think they would have gotten to the bye week and taken a look.
He doesn't get injured. He comes home and starts after Colorado.
If he starts the whole year, do they at least eke out that sixth win?
It's a good question, because
lost my mind.
I know.
Oh, okay. This is a wild thought.
The biggest takeaway is they've upgraded at that position.
I feel like when he, which game was it?
Which game? What was it?
No. When he had to come back in the game, it was in Lincoln.
Purdue?
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
There were moments.
Yeah.
I do wonder.
I remember being excited. Let's see what he does.
Now that it's Jeff Sims Newsday, I do wonder if he does come back and play. He gets the home debut, and he's able to minimize the turnovers. That's a big if. I get it. But as you continue to get familiar with the system you're in, the game speed and everything, I get it. He's experienced. It's not like he's a freshman. Would he have got himself into a little bit of a situation where he's more confident, he's more comfortable, and the ball security just naturally happens? I just think there are some people who are, they're just turnover prone. And his previous history would tell you that. But he misses games, then he comes back in, and it's almost like you start from square one again, where same old things are happening again. I'm not saying I believe that would have been the case.
Michigan,
but you bring up the question, which I still think if those turnovers continued at that rate, if you're a coaching staff, you have to just admit your mistake. You lick your wounds and you move on to the next guy, and you try to put the team in the best position to win. And unfortunately, Jeff Sims wasn't it. And I think they knew that. I think they got to a point they knew that.
So there's a part of the portal day, portal combat going on, where we have lots of sports that are interacting in the portal combat world. I mean, that battlefield has a lot of people just wandering around going, what side should I go to? I think a coach can definitely, with their respective fan base, drive the narrative on the portal. Like, you know, Rule has talked ad nauseum over the last couple of weeks about why Nebraska is not being decimated by the portal, mm-hmm. and why it's sometimes a better option to stay and compete at Nebraska than go somewhere else, get a little money, and be a backup. So from here on out, if a frontline guy leaves, because I still think there'll be a couple of guys that will leave from Nebraska, but a frontline guy leaves right now after everything that's been said, what would be the reaction? Probably be a little bit negative, right, towards the player.
Yeah.
And we just said most of the players that have been leaving, not all, some are like, what are you doing? This is the best option for you, have been, oh, it's coach's fault. Frost, Martinez, transferred because it was Frost. Wandale Robinson, transferred because it was Frost. Luke McCaffrey, transferred because it was Frost and his staff. But now you've created the why people don't leave Nebraska. If someone leaves, you're going to go tampering? Or you'll be like, man, okay, dude, hey, don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Yeah, both, actually. And I think the most important part of how we do view that is the Q rating of the coaching staff. I think the Q rating for this coaching staff right now is pretty high. So if someone decides to leave that team, you also look at them leaving that coaching staff and you think, I'm on Team Rule. I'm on Team Thomas or Team Satterfield or Team White. To hell with them if they don't want to be a part of those guys. If they don't want to be a part of that program, to hell with them. But if you are looking at a coaching staff where you're not a big fan of, and remember, right around when Wandale Robinson left, people were wondering about how he was being used. There were still some questions. I think the faithful audience, the faithful fan base, was starting to see some cracks in the foundation where they were entertaining the idea of, oh my gosh, how do we lose this guy? This is one of the very few playmakers that we have on offense. What the hell happened? You start asking the question, you direct it more towards the coaching staff than you do the actual player itself. And everybody knew that there was always people from Kentucky that were going to be in Wandale Robinson's ear. But it was funny. I think initially a lot of people were able to overlook that and direct it right to the coaching staff. And I'm not saying that they're wrong, but I do think it goes back to people's overall confidence or the popularity level of that coaching staff, the Q rating of that coaching staff. If it's not a high Q rating, I think it's easy to go back to the coaching staff and say it's on them as opposed to the player. But if you really like the coaching staff, you like where everything's going, then it's easy to say it's on the player. Good luck to you. Don't need you.
A couple of tweets here to finish the hour from Sean. So the drunkest I ever got in my life was New Year's Eve on Mill Avenue in 94. 22-year-old Sean had no limits.
I bet a lot of people could share similar experiences.
I'd like to have been there too, but I was 11.
You know, people will say...
I was in high school.
Like, I think I was too much business-like my first, like, bowl trip.
Right.
Not my first, but the 95. Like, 99, I just let it rip. Man, I probably...
A little more experience, a little older.
Yeah, I probably gave my phone number out to many people. I had no idea who they were.
Was that the Alamo Bowl?
No, it was a Fiesta Bowl.
99?
Yeah. Tennessee game.
Oh, that's right.
Sean says... 2000. Ooh, here's Gary's trades. Jeff Sims is Nebraska's gift to ASU for Sam Keller.
Fair. He's the player to be named much later.
That's not bad.
Now, I think we did get Jared Bubak came back.
I don't think.
But there could
but
have
this
been.
But this is a player to be named later, like, 10, 15 years later.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody is talking about Jeff Sims in the Arizona State circles the way that people were talking about Sam Keller when he was about ready to make his way over. Like, there's your next. There's your first quarterback in however many years.
But the game was
drafted. Oh, Sam Keller. What he represented when he made his way into Lincoln.
He was holding it
we I say we because I was too. Very excited.
Not all portalers are created equal.
Next time you talk to Mark Kranek, you need to ask him about his initial thoughts of Sam Keller. Oh,
Heisman?
He and I were living together. And
that's okay. I gave Odell James and Thunder Collins the Heisman in Nebraska. Something happened along the way.
I don't know
if it wasn't my fault. Wasn't my fault. I think it was on them.
I don't know if he necessarily said Heisman, or he said he could be a first-round draft choice in the NFL. This was before he played a game for Nebraska. I will be very fair with that because I think a lot of people were hyping it up. It was just a different
level. To be fair, he got confused with the guy that went on to pitch for the Pittsburgh Pirates that had the same last name. All right, update with Jimmy coming up next. Sam
McMurphy.
The Sam guy from the World Herald. That Mac guy. Sam McEwen will join us at the bottom of the hour on 1620 The Zone.